fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the John Moore Show. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore on this Friday, the 16th day of August in the year of our Lord, 2019. Hope everybody's having a great morning. Okay, we're going to go right away to our special guest, Mr. Tom Berryhill. Today's subject, or at least this hour's subject, is emergency radio communications, but we'll probably go everywhere. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, Tim. Good morning. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes, I hear you, Lima Charlie, buddy. Not a problem.
That's good. Well, you get us started, Tim. Where do you want to go? We usually talk about communications in general, emergency communications, shortwave listening, all types of subjects, emergency power, solar panels, all types of stuff.
Okay, well, I think the last couple of times you and I have been on together, we beat the solar thing to death. People are probably tired of hearing us talk about that. Let's just keep it simple to start with, and we can branch out. I think everybody listening probably knows the importance of being able to keep up with information, especially in an emergency situation, and particularly where there's no other form of communication except what you can catch over the air. With that said, let's talk about, say, average family, you know, what they would need to be able to communicate or at least to listen to what's going on in the outside world. I think I got some pretty good ideas, but who knows? There might be something new out there I don't know about, Tom.
Well, let's hear your idea real fast, and then I'll comment on that, and we can take it from there. What would you propose that the average family be doing?
Well, if they only want to listen, which would probably be what my family would want here, I know there's several shortwave and ham receivers out there, or everything receivers, I guess you could say, for not too much money. I've seen them myself, $150 up, that look like they would do us here real good. My thinking is that an antenna, you could pretty much hear what's going on all over the world. Or am I wrong, Tom?
Well, that's true. And, of course, any kind of a portable receiver that's battery-operated could have an AC adapter. That would be helpful. But in an all-out emergency where there's no power, it would be very wise to have battery-powered equipment with rechargeable right. batteries, and then a way to recharge those batteries, whether it be from a car. A lot of times you're going to have a charger that will plug in a cigarette lighter outlet in a car to keep those batteries going, or some sort of an adapter that would power that radio at the same time. Of course, then it's all dependent on the supply of gasoline, but you would need something like that. And then I would have a receiver that would, one of these portable shortwave types, that will pick up AM and FM broadcasts. That's really handy, as well as shortwave. And then you always want the single sideband capabilities, and that allows you to pick up the ham radio operators, and any government type of transmissions, for the most part, would be on, the government now would be on upper sideband. All of their equipment is normally upper sideband, and it might be called USB. And that's not a USB cable like a computer cable, but that stands for upper sideband. They standardize on that. I don't know why, but that's just what they do. The ham operators use lower sideband on the lower frequencies, 40 meters and 80 meters, which is the 7 megahertz and the 3.5 megahertz band. They use lower sideband, and then the bands above that, they use upper sideband. It's just, there is a reason for that, but it's rather technical, and we can talk about that if you want, but probably best to skip that. It gets kind of technical. And it doesn't really matter that much. But you'll hear a lot of government activity. They'll always be on upper sideband, and that would be around 5 megahertz. Most of the time, you'll hear most of these stations on 5 megahertz. And, Tim, it's amazing how many government entities are actually setting up shortwave systems. I went by a hospital the other day to take a friend to an appointment, and I was amazed to see a HF antenna on top of that hospital. I'm still investigating, trying to find out what that's all about. But the hospital had they had a dipole antenna on top of there, along with the regular antennas that they use for their communications for the ambulances and so on. Also, I was going up Highway 141 in St. Louis County and got up to Interstate, well, I called it Highway 40. I think they call it 64 now. Right at that intersection up on top of the hill is a Missouri Department of Transportation Center, and there are HF antennas on top of that facility. I didn't go up there to look around or barge in and ask questions. I don't think they'd be appreciative of that. But I know what these antennas are when I see them, and they have an HF system up there.
Well, if there was an operator there at Department of Transportation, MoDOT, from what I know, them guys would just love somebody to talk to, Tom. If there was an operator there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind asking what that's all about. State entities, the federal government doesn't have licenses. They have their own frequency assignments, and they have their own system of signing these frequencies and call signs and et cetera. So you'll never be able to go on the FCC database and find out about the federal government frequency allocations. But the state agencies... Yeah, the state agencies will all be issued call signs and frequency assignments, and they have to operate on those specific frequencies. You can go on the FCC.gov, and you can look up on their database, and I think you'll find a lot of information about what they do. Here in Missouri, I've looked at some of them. They're between 2.0 and, I believe, up around 9 megahertz. They have assignments in those ranges. A lot of it is between 2 and 6 megahertz. They operate a lot of their equipment in the 5 megahertz area. I believe one of the frequencies is 5.14. I'm not mistaken. But they'll have data transmissions on there. I don't know if it's encrypted or encoded in any way, but they'll use data. It'll sound kind of like a fax machine, just a bunch of buzzing noise. They'll have some voice communications. Tim, they have these HF systems for when all else fails. If there's a wide area outage or a serious chaotic situation, they'll be using those HF systems. I don't think they use them too much other than to test them, maybe on a monthly or weekly basis. They'll do a test on these things. And most of these systems were licensed up to 1 kilowatt of power, although I think they operate most of them at about 125 watts. I looked at one installation once in St. Louis that they had at the, I believe it was on top of the Soldiers Memorial. There's a memorial building down there, and the antenna was on the roof. I was actually checking it out for them. This was over 20 years ago, and I just don't remember all the details, but they were having trouble with it, and they asked me to take a look at it, so I did. And one of the people that was involved with that group passed, and so we took a look at that. But anyway, it was operating on 5.14, and they would test it once a month with Jefferson City. They had the main unit in Jefferson City, which is the state capital, and then so all these different counties started getting these systems. They didn't have them initially, but as I would drive, if I went through a county seat, I would always make it a point to get close to the sheriff's department or the courthouse and just see if those antennas are up there yet. And now I see them in almost every county I go through. It's not like I travel around that much, but anytime I go through a county seat, I look for those antennas, and especially that HF antenna, because that would put them in the shortwave spectrum, and that's where they would use that for long-range communications. Their VHF systems, and all of the state now, most of it is on 150 megahertz, and the Highway Patrol, they don't use their low-band system anymore. They go through the local sheriff's department. They're all interlinked. And they call it MOSWIN. I don't remember what it stands for, but they have everything trunked together and linked together, I guess, by microwave systems. I'm not really sure how they do that. But if that system, which is rather complex, if that shuts down or goes haywire for any reason, they would be using that HF system as a backup, and they'd be able to talk statewide very, very easily. There would be no problem at all. Even at 100 watts, they were using the radio equipment I looked at that one time years ago was a Motorola system, and it was single sideband, and there was no data transmissions. Now, they could have easily upgraded that, which would be most likely what's happened. They'll have data equipment on there now, computers tied in. But back then, it was just voice. Yeah, it was only voice back, and that was in the mid to late 1990s, and they had that system set up.
I was there.
The equipment, really, really nice equipment, but it only operated at 125 watts, although the license indicated they could operate at 1 kilowatt, 1,000 watts. So even with that, and they had automatic antenna tuners on it, and it would go statewide easily, and actually into several states if they needed to. So now the ham operators are assigned some frequencies. They're discrete frequencies. It's not a band of frequencies, but they operate on several discrete channels in that same range, and it's shared. It's on a secondary basis with a government entity. So the idea is if you can use this daily and if any time of day or night, if you want, all the time, as much as you want, unless a government station comes on, then you have to cease transmitting. You could listen, but you have to stop transmitting and allow the government entity to use that frequency. So they share those frequencies, and that's why I tell a lot of the ham operators, if you're worried about any kind of chaos or war situations in the future, make sure you can operate on those 5 megahertz frequencies, those that the ham operators have allocations on, because the government would never have jamming in their own frequency ranges, and it would be very wise to be able to listen and talk on those frequencies. You would pretty much be guaranteed that you could get through, because they're not going to put any jamming or anything into their own frequency. frequency spectrum. So that might be something to keep in mind. But anyway, shortwave listening is very, very important. And any type of shortwave receiver that has single sideband capabilities will get you information from the ham radio operators that will be very vital to fill you in on what's going on in various areas around the country. The ham operators will have a pulse on the, you know, they'll be right on the pulse in the community. They'll know exactly what's going on and be able to relay that information. You'll hear a lot of people trying to get in touch with family members, friends, people that they know that maybe were traveling and are now stranded. That information would be available. If you are a ham operator, you'd be able to talk to them. But otherwise, just the ability to listen would get you up to speed on what's happening throughout the region and throughout the country.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, Tom. You know, you were talking about the highway patrol. Last night, I was up the drive-through convenience store, and right in front of me was a highway patrolman. And my grandson and I were talking about the various antennas on top of the car. And, you know, I pointed, look, you know, that one is VHF because they operate in, or not VHF, UHF because they operate in the 160s. You know, that one's UHF because they operate in the 430s. And those two are for data, like the computer when they check your license and the registration and all that. And he found that quite amazing. You know, that here's this vehicle with four different antennas. And if I had both legs, I would have jumped out of the car and run him over there, knocked on the guy's window and said, hey, can he look inside your car real quick? And I'm sure the highway patrolman would have probably been happy to let him do it, but I wasn't going to send him up there by himself, and it's too hard for me to jump out and do that. But, you know, 1990 or the 1990s was the last time I actually had anything to do with law enforcement. You know, I think I quit in 95, and that's the last time I had anything to do with it. But I used to set up these vehicles, you know, the flashing lights, the siren units, put in the radios and all that. That's one of the things I used to do here in Salem. I enjoyed it. I was good at it, and they got cheap labor. So, yeah, but the stuff they've got now compared to 30 years ago is just, or 25 years ago, is just incredible.
Yeah, they have mobile data terminals and all that. You look at those antennas, Tim, that one of them, most of their operations, from what I can tell, is on VHF. And like in my area, they use the sheriff's frequency, which is on 154 or 151. They have several channels, but they use those. They share them, and they go through the local dispatchers, the county dispatchers. And then they can also talk car to car. So you want to be able to listen to all those frequencies. That would get you up to speed on what's happening right in your general area. Now, those transmissions could be encrypted, so you would not be able to listen. And most of that is on P25 digital, so you'd need a scanner or a receiver that would pick up the P25. And that's very important. But if they encrypt it, all bets are off. You can forget about it unless you have unless you have one of these service monitors. I use instruments called service monitors. It's like a receiver and transmitter with an oscilloscope, voltmeters. It's everything you need to test the radios in one box. And then you can also listen into encrypted transmissions. But you need the codes. You need the data codes, the decryption code. And if you don't have that, even having that specialized equipment will not allow you to listen in. So they've got it pretty much nailed down. And it's very hard to crack that. I'm sure it's been done, but I think you're going to look long and hard to find some way to get in and listen to those things. So, if they don't have encrypted transmissions, you'd be able to hear them. There's also, if you look in those cars, sometimes there's a real short antenna. It might only be a little whip antenna, about 3 inches long. That's for their walkie-talkie units that, and this could also be for those data terminals you're talking about. Okay. I believe they operate on.
Hang on a minute, Tom. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. 1-800-313-9443.
Hey.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly 1 million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore on this a Friday, the 16th day of August, in the year of our Lord, 2019. Well, as they say, TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday. Right, Julie? Anyway, we're speaking with Tom Berryhill right now about radio communications, one of my favorite subjects. excuse me, folks, I got a frog in my throat, and I've been trying to get rid of it the whole time. But anyway, Tom, where do we want to go next, buddy?
Well, we can finish up real quick on monitoring these public service agencies, law enforcement. You can learn a lot from finding out what the frequencies are and program all those frequencies in the channels for your local area. Find out where the ham radio networks operate. There's quite a few of those. During the day in your local area and regional areas, you would listen on the 40-meter band around 7.25 megahertz, plus or minus from there. I think you'd find a lot of networks that operate throughout the day, and they'll be on lower sideband. At nighttime, you would go on the 75-meter band, and that would be anywhere from about 3.7 to 4 megahertz. In those ranges, you'll find networks operating in there that would cover your general area in that region or that part of the country. And you'd be able to listen in on those ham operators and find out what's going on there. Sometimes you can hear them. I've heard networks they're in California on the West Coast, even at nighttime. So they cover quite a distance at night on that 75 meter band. It's 3.5 to 4 megahertz, but they call the upper part of that 75 meters, and that would be the where all the voice transmissions are. You'll also hear data transmissions in those ranges. If you have any kind of computer equipment that would interface with the radio, you'd be able to pick up the data transmissions. None of that will be encoded. You'd be able to actually watch the messages. It'd almost be like looking at email messages as they come across your screen as they're transmitted. You see all that in real time. But most of the information under stressful situations, I think a lot of it would be by voice, and they'd be actually using voice communications. So that's where the single sideband capabilities come in, and that's, I really think, that between a scanner and a really good shortwave receiver that has single sideband capabilities, you'd be able to get most of the information that you're looking for. And then also on shortwave broadcasts on those frequencies, you would be able to listen to foreign stations outside our country. And many times, Tim, you know as well as I do that most of the valuable information will come from a non-domestic source. A foreign country
Absolutely.
Will tell it like it is. But,
Absolutely.
You know, our own news sources may be filtered somewhat, although there's a lot of truthful broadcasting that goes on the shortwave spectrum. It'd be a wise thing to have those capabilities. So that's pretty much it on that. If anybody has questions, they're welcome to call in, and I'll do my best to answer those. But that kind of equipment's good to have. And then we get back to your own personal communications. If you're a ham radio operator, where you would want VHF and UHF capabilities, that would be really good for your local area. If you like to use HTs or walkie-talkies, they're usually called HTs by the ham operators. That stands for handy talkie.
Yeah.
And those are handheld radios, and they can usually go anywhere from 1 to 5 watts per radio. That gives you very limited range. A lot of people think it's like a cell phone, and you can talk any distance you want with that handheld radio. And it really is not. That's not the case as far as ham operators are concerned, because if you don't have a repeater station that's within range of that handheld unit, you're not going to be talking very far. But they're really, really good to have if you're in a convoy of vehicles and you're following each other and you need... Yeah, it's a lot faster and more reliable than any cell phone would ever be, because of you don't have to dial in, and, you know, you don't have restricted range. I mean, some of these higher power HTs, you can talk a mile or two from car to car if you're on flat ground. You could do that. You could also get an external antenna, a magnet mount antenna, or if you already have antennas on the cars, some cars might have higher power mobile equipment. You'd still be able to talk to those. And usually if you're within a convoy, you would have reliable communications throughout the whole trip. And you could you don't need a repeater or anything. You'd be talking what's called simplex, or everybody on the same frequency. And that would fulfill those needs quite readily without any problems whatsoever. It'd be very reliable. So
I didn't mean to step on you, Tom. We got that little bit of a delay I keep not forgetting about, but I don't give enough time.
It makes it a little interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah. All I was going to say is, Tom, with an HT, the farthest I've ever gone here locally, and this is when we had our radio system set up, and I had I don't really honestly know how tall it was, but a tall antenna, it was taller than the house, was 4 miles line of sight. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes, 1-800-313-9443. Give us a call.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore on this, a Friday, the 16th day of August, year of our Lord, 2019. We're visiting with Mr. Tom Berryhill, and the subject at hand is radio communications. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443 if you got a question for Tom. Tom, I got a question for you. What's your opinion on buying surplus radio equipment? And this is something I've done successfully over the years, quite successfully. What's your opinion on doing that?
Well, it depends on the type of equipment, Tim. Are you talking about two-way radio systems like what they used in police cars and so on?
Yes, exactly. That and base stations.
Well, I think as far as ham radio goes, it's an excellent way to go if you don't mind being stuck on the amount of frequencies or the channels that equipment has. Some of that equipment was one channel. Some of it was multiple channels. I've seen them with 32 channels. I've seen them with maybe five or six channels. And also, if it's older equipment, they had crystals in there. And it's getting hard to get crystals. A really good source was International Crystal Company, and they would take those channel elements from all the Motorola, General Electric, even RCA type equipment that has long since been obsolete, and they could recrystal those for the ham operators. They had all the specifications. All you had to do was tell them the channel element type. They could do it. All of that down the drain because they closed down. They're gone. And
right.
As of within the last year or two, they're out of business and history. It's really a shame because they were an excellent source. They're still sources, but not as good as them. So that's a problem. You have to pay very close attention to that. Now, if it's later equipment that's synthesized and you just need to program it, that's better. But as far as I don't know about the – well, General Electric, I believe they were sold off and merged. I'm trying to remember the company that they merged with, and they don't produce the equipment anymore. Although I think some of the best equipment ever made for base stations especially was the General Electric Master 2 system.
I agree.
Those things are bulletproof, and they must have had the best sales crew out there because I've seen a lot of that equipment around. I've seen General Electric base stations and Motorola mobile units.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more familiar with the Motorola equipment, and I built repeater systems, 45 years ago. I put a system on. It was General Electric. It was the version right before the Master equipment came out and was called the Progress Line, Progress Line, if I remember right. And it had some tubes in it. The receiver was all solid state, some tubes. But it was a very, very good system, and we had tremendous coverage. We had it on a tall building in Clayton, Missouri, so that covered the entire St. Louis area and then some. It went into across the river, across Mississippi, into Illinois. Since Illinois was so flat, we had really good range into Illinois. And that was about a 75-watt repeater system on a 15-story building with a very high-gain antenna. And it was interconnected with a telephone line, so we used it for phone calls and things like that. It worked very well. In fact, I had several people that worked on police systems tell me that system you guys have set up works better than the police department system they were working on. So we put a lot of effort into it, and that was surplus equipment. That was General Electric. And then
right.
I worked on a lot of the. I'll tell you, some really good Motorola units were those MiCores. They were made back in the 1970s. Motorola MiCore, MiCOR. You can buy those
now
for scrap prices. Nobody wants the stuff, but again, you need the crystals. Then you get past that, and I bought an entire fleet when a trucking company shut down, and these were Motorola Meritrack. Those are really, really good pieces of equipment. I bought those things real cheap and then resold them for quite a bit on eBay and made a lot of money doing that. But that was it was about 18 years ago. And now all of that equipment is in the dump. Our ham operators are using it because they had to go to narrowband. All the equipment had to be narrowbanded by January of 2013. So that put a lot of surplus equipment on the market, and the ham operators are not stuck with those kind of regulations. We can operate wide band, narrow band, anything you want to put on there. So that's a really good source of equipment if you have the programming capabilities for it. Now, Motorola was really, really touchy about their software getting out and used by a non Motorola service shop. So if you weren't a Motorola service shop, let me tell you, trying to get those radios programmed was a nightmare if you didn't know somebody. And some of that software has leaked out. There's been some workarounds and so on. These ham guys are pretty innovative when it comes to figuring out ways to get the job done. And a lot of the people that worked at Motorola in the engineering departments where they designed all this equipment, many of them were ham operators anyway, and they knew their ways around that, and they shared some secrets here and there. Probably could have gotten them in a lot of trouble or fired, but a lot of that info leaked out, and there's a lot of workarounds for that. But some of that equipment really, really works good. I kept several of those Meritracks, Tim. I had about almost 300 of those things. And wow. I kept a handful of the nicest ones. There were several that were brand new in the box, had never been installed. Those were spares as replacements in case they needed them, and they apparently didn't need them because they were brand new. I've got three or four of those brand new in the box. I kept those for my own use, and I've never used them. You can take those radios, and you can use the receiver from one and the transmitter from a second one and put them together in a cabinet and make a repeater out of those if you wanted to do that. That was one of the things I thought about doing. But I just these were high power. These were 100-watt mobile units with 99 channels. So they were really, really nice, and I kept the good ones. They were VHF, by the way, and I paid $10 a piece for them. So it was a pretty good deal, and I've sold them for hundreds of dollars a piece when it was time to turn them. So, and then I got all the base stations, too. They were Motorola MSF 5000 base stations. Those were really, really nice units. So buying surplus equipment, if you can find the stuff and you can work on it. The good thing about it is all the service manuals are generally available. You can get the service manuals.
Yeah, they're available online.
You can buy them, go on eBay, and you'll find them. Anytime I've bought any type of equipment, I always do the best I can to get my hands on the factory service manual. And that's whether it's a vehicle, a truck, a car, a piece of test equipment.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I'm shopping for test equipment. I focus on the technical side of things more so than operating the equipment. I don't get on the air that much anymore, but if I do buy some equipment, I will always get the factory service manual for that piece of equipment in case it needs to be calibrated or has to be any kind of maintenance work performed. It's good to have that factory service manual so you're not just going in there blind. You know what you're going to be doing. That helps a lot. And all of that's generally available. Now, as far as ham equipment, so the ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, any of those, Alinco, any of those pieces of equipment, you can get the factory service manuals for those as well. It's not really all that expensive. A lot of ham operators don't want to spend the money, but I think it's a wise thing to do if you're going to have several of those. Say you have several friends and they're all together standardizing on a piece of equipment, it'd be a good idea to get a manual that you could all share in case anything had to be tuned up or worked on internally. It'd be good to have that information. But that the difference between the surplus equipment is that you're stuck on these channels, and you get the ham equipment made by ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, Alinco. All of those are tunable. You could just dial in the frequency you want.
Right.
And you're there. And then you can also assign channel numbers. You can put alphanumeric channels in there, so you can have south side repeater or west side repeater or Tim Spencer channel or whatever you wanted to do. You know, if I wanted to have a channel that you and I talked, I would just put your name in there and just dial that in, and you wouldn't have to pay attention to the frequency itself. You'd know where you are. Many of them will show the frequency and the alphanumeric label for that frequency. So that's really handy, and you can change that right on the radio itself at any time. You can reprogram it out in the field, and that's the one thing that you can't do with the commercial type equipment. But if you're going to operate it on specific channels and you have the way to set it up, it's a very good way to go, because you'll have top-notch equipment with that surplus stuff. And you can usually buy those radios for $20 or $25 because nobody wants them anymore.
Right. Well, you know, Tom, I would say it was early 90s, I was at an auction. I think it was conservation auction, and I bought a pallet load of mobile radios. And it wasn't like a 4x4 foot pallet. It was 4x4, but maybe a foot and a half tall. Probably 80 units, and they were mostly Motorola MaxTrack 16s and 32s, a few GE mobile units in there, and I made out like a bandit on that. I sold some to the police department, which I worked for at the time, I sold some just to people I knew. I had a bunch of them, and about half of them were quite serviceable and quite repairable. In fact, most of them, I would say 75% of them just flat out worked. And that was one of the best deals I ever made. Same day I bought a whole pallet of light bars and flashing red dash lights and stuff like that. And again, I made a fortune on that too. So it can be done.
Oh, yeah. Now, talk about state auctions and that, Tim, right down by you. I don't know if they do it anymore, but they're in Salem. I think it was every May they would have an auction.
It's every August now.
Is it? Well, they. I went to that a couple of times, and the last time I went, I bought a pallet. It was about 3 feet tall, and they actually, it was going to be raining that day, and this was outside, and they they had wrapped, they had that wrap, that clear wrap, plastic wrap around everything, but I was able to peek down in the center of one of them, and I saw a blue screen, so I knew it was a piece of Hewlett-Packard or Tektronix test equipment. I couldn't see what it was, but I knew it would be valuable, so I bid on that, and I ended up, I think I paid $150 for the whole pallet, but there was a Hewlett-Packard spectrum analyzer down in there that works perfectly, so I bought that thing for peanuts. Yeah, I still have it, and I still use it occasionally, but I wanted it just for that, and there was some really nice power supplies and a couple of mobile units. There was even an 8-track tape player down in there, and there was a lot of, yeah, there was a lot of people there that are just kind of dumpster divers, and some of the stuff I gave away, and some of it I shouldn't have done this or admit it, but I just left it behind. I cut the wrap off of there and put the stuff in my truck that I wanted to take, and I gave away some of it to a guy that was standing there, and I left the rest behind, but I took all the good stuff, and I'm sure they come through and let the dumpster divers go through and take everything that's left over, but that spectrum analyzer was in there. And I'll tell you something else mentioning these General Electric Master 2. If you ever come across any ham operators that are setting up equipment and they need power supplies, things like that, one of the best power supplies ever made, in my opinion, was that base station power supply for the Master 2 repeaters and base stations. That thing is bulletproof. Plus, it has an interconnection point in there where you can connect a battery bank to it. It will charge the batteries, and if the AC power goes out, so if the power company has a power failure and there's an outage in your area, the equipment will instantly switch over to battery power. And then when the power comes back on or you fire up a generator, it will then switch back to the AC power and recharge those batteries. And it'll go back and forth like that. Those power supplies are nearly bulletproof. Plus, a very important thing to take into consideration, Tim, is that they're a linear power supply. They have voltage regulators that operate in a linear mode. And we could talk about that if you want, but it gets rather technical, and most people won't want to hear that. But I feel they're a little bit more wasteful and power consumption than a switching power supply, but a lot of the modern power supplies that you get for some of this equipment operates in a switching mode. These older power supplies don't, and that General Electric power supply did not. And that's why I like them. If you operate any kind of HF radio equipment, especially if you're operating single sideband or AM or any of those modes on shortwave on the HF frequencies, you really don't want to use a switching power supply because the noise that they generate can really interfere with the reception when you're trying to hear weak signals. Those power supplies themselves generate a lot of noise. Now, many of them have filters in there, and they're pretty clean, but I don't like them. I just don't like switching power supplies as far as communications equipment goes. As a matter of fact, I don't really care too much for any power supply. I use battery banks to run my equipment. I ham radio equipment, and I have a battery charger set up that keeps them charged. So I always run the equipment off of batteries rather than AC power supplies. But if somebody was looking for a really nice power supply, look for those General Electric systems because they were one of the best I've ever come across. As a matter of fact, Tim, I saw a guy had a Craigslist ad for General Electric equipment. It turns out it was the entire communications thing from the St. Louis airport when they had to go to the narrowband system. They put it all by the dumpster, and this guy picked it all up. He got permission to take it, and I bought the entire lot from him. There were six repeaters in there, and everything. It was all Motorola. There was a little bit of General Electric, but mostly Motorola. And I got, I barely had enough room in a pickup truck to haul all this stuff. And I get the guy, he wanted $25 for everything. So that was a bargain. And you know, I still have those repeaters. A couple of them I took apart and used pieces out of for other projects. But the most valuable parts in those things were not the power supplies, believe it or not, but the cabinets that the equipment were built in, the rack cabinets, plus the duplexer networks that are used for repeaters. Those are very valuable, and they never get obsolete.
Hang on a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Hi folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer, S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore on this, a Friday, the 16th day of August, 2019. A quick note, ladies and gentlemen, John will be back on Monday, and he will be here to host the show, as far as I know, for a good long time. However, I'm always available if he needs me to sit in for him. Anyway, right now we're visiting with Mr. Tom Berryhill, We're talking about radio communications. Tom, this is our final segment this hour. Go ahead and tell the folks whatever you'd like to tell them, whatever you think is most important, sir.
Well, I think most important, Tim, if we focus on emergency communications, have that scanner, a shortwave radio with single sideband capabilities. Receiving and listening is more important than transmitting. In trying times, you want to be able to hear what's going on. You can listen to John even mentions this, the road crews. You know, they're out there, utility departments for various cities, counties. They'll be reporting back to headquarters what they're coming across. So it'd be good to listen to those channels, the fire departments, and of course, the police departments. So many of those have gone to digital modes of transmission. So you want to make sure you have a relatively modern scanner or receiver that's capable of picking up those digital modes. Sometimes the law enforcement will encrypt it. Their transmissions are scrambled or encrypted, and you won't be able to listen to them. So it's unfortunate that that's happened as far as listening goes, but it's good for them so that the bad guys can't hear what the police are doing. But I think, all in all, if you have those capabilities with a scanner and a shortwave receiver, you will have probably 90% of what you would need to hear information that would really be beneficial to you and your family and your neighborhood and your friends, help you to keep up with what's happening around the nation, around the world, and especially in your local area. That would be very helpful. Then you would need radios. If you're not a ham operator, you could have a CB unit. That would help. And also, you could have a GMRS equipment.
Right.
That's what an FRS, a family radio service, and a general mobile radio service. Those two types of equipment use some shared channels in there. But the GMRS, you can operate higher power, I think 50 watts. I think you can operate at 50 watts. So if you had some UHF systems, and Tim, you mentioned the surplus equipment. I don't think they put the narrowband requirements on the GMRS radios. So you could buy these Motorola Spectra, which were some real nice equipment, and operate those things to this day on GMRS.
Well, GMRS, I know, is stepped in... I don't quite know how to say it, but it's a 0.25. In other words, it goes 700, in other words,
they're on
462.
They're on 462.
460,
right.
Yeah, 0.00, 0.25, 0.50, 0.75. That's the way it's stepped.
Right. Now, you do need test equipment to set those up or have a radio shop do it for you. Some of the ham operators have the equipment to do it. That's what you need, and it's wise to get that set up now while things are relatively calm.
Agreed. Thank you, Tom. I'll be talking with you soon. Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Dr. Lynn Wilbert, hang in there.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party money, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.